Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet lovers, and welcome to my podcast program, The Cross in the Desert, Speaking Hope and Freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life and join me today on my podcast. Today is Friday, April 7th, 2023. I'm continuing my special Easter Holy Week series on the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's those main events in the life of Christ that we look back on during this sacred Holy Week and remind us of what a great living Savior we serve. Now, previous to this, on Monday, I began to look in detail at Christ's agony in the Garden of Gethsemane when he said, "Not my will, but thy will be done," and the ramifications of that incredible statement and what it had on our salvation. And then I took a close look at the life-transforming words of Christ. And in our last program, I refuted the claim from the Quran that Jesus did not die by crucifixion, that he was not crucified according to the claim of the Quran, and showed, historically speaking and from Scripture, how this is a true event and it actually happened in contrast to what the Muslims teach. Now, today, as Christians, on Friday, we look and mourn and we meditate and think carefully about Christ's death for us, his crucifixion. Now, because my program lands on Monday and Thursday 99% of the time and not on Easter Sunday, the resurrection, I'm going today to talk about the glorious resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now, normally here on Good Friday, you would hear a teaching on the crucifixion. I had that teaching this past Monday because of my time constraints and the schedule of my program. So if you've been following the series, we covered that topic on Monday. And today, I want to give good reason why you can trust Scripture, the eyewitness accounts of the resurrection, why we can believe from history and from the inspiration of Scripture that Christ indeed did conquer death, hell, the grave, and Satan, and rose again on the third day. And so I want us to look very carefully at this topic today. I want to deal with one of the most beautiful, life-transforming verses found in Scripture. I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. Now, all of us face the inevitable reality of death one day. It's a subject we prefer not to talk about and instead continue to make plans and pursue our dreams. Yet, it's unavoidable. Death is all around us. You can think back to the COVID pandemic, when we had an accelerated example of massive death. Just to give you another example, our lives are rudely interrupted by the tragic news of a best friend killed in a car wreck or a next-door neighbor facing terminal cancer. The headline news is filled with murders, violence, and stories of incredible suffering and evil. The lives of people are shattered by this painful reality. Now, the question is, are there any answers that can give us hope in the face of death? Well, nearly 2,000 years ago, words of hope were spoken to a Jewish woman named Martha and her sister Mary. Their brother Lazarus had suddenly died, and their lives were filled with grief and mourning until Jesus arrived on the scene. Jesus gave Martha words of hope that shattered the darkness and the reality of death. Jesus proclaimed, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." That's an incredible declaration that looks death right in the face and says, quote, "I have the final word," end quote. Jesus wasn't just trying to encourage Martha with a pep talk to soothe her hurts and pains. No, it's much more than that. Right before the eyes of Martha and Mary and others gathered in that little village of Bethany, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And still wrapped in his grave clothes, Lazarus emerged from the tomb to the absolute astonishment of Mary and Martha. Death and decay were powerless against the command of Jesus, and Lazarus was living proof that Jesus was exactly who he claimed to be, the resurrection and the life. Millions of followers of Jesus courageously risk their lives every day, refusing to recant their faith because they have the assurance that at the instant of their death, they will stand before their living Savior, never to die again. I'm thinking of those in the persecuted church in the Middle East who face death, execution, imprisonment every day because of their declaration of faith in Christ. Well, we live, though, in a culture of fear and hopelessness with the certainty of death lingering all around us, interrupting our plans and dreams for the good life. As a result of that, many put their hope and faith in science or the latest diet fads to help prolong their lives. However, the incredible promise of Jesus is the only words of hope overcome and destroy the sinful curse of death upon the human race. The promises of scientific progress and the claims of diet fads are built well upon a shaky foundation in comparison to the life-transforming promise of Jesus. What does that mean for us, practically speaking? You and I can confidently look death in the face and have real hope and assurance when we put our trust in Jesus. He alone has the words of eternal life. The curse of death is forever swallowed up by the greatest words ever uttered: "I am the resurrection and the life." For Christians who come together on Good Friday to meditate upon the supreme sacrifice of what Jesus did for us on the cross and think about the agonizing pain he endured to secure our salvation, we look back on that on Easter morning, on resurrection morning, when we discover that Jesus is no longer in the tomb, but that the tomb is empty. Yet we have skeptics, maybe spiritual seekers, who want to have evidence or proof that this really is much more than just a wishful thought, a glorious declaration. Is there any evidence to back up the reliability of Scripture that tells us of Resurrection Sunday, that tells us about the empty tomb? Well, former atheist and author Lee Strobel, who once was close-minded to the truth, became a Christian based on the evidence. And here's Lee to give us hope in the reliability of the Bible.
Well, there are a lot of opinions about God. You look around the world, you see different religions, different beliefs. But to me, it comes down to, where does the evidence point? And if Jesus claimed to be the Son of God and backed it up by returning from the dead, then that's good evidence that he is who he claimed to be, and therefore his words are God's words, and his instructions for us are God's instructions for us, and we can know him personally, experience him on a profoundly deep level, not only in this world, but then ultimately in the world to come. So I look at, did Jesus return from the dead? And I look at the four E's to sort of summarize the evidence. The first E is for execution. Virtually every scholar, believer or non-believer, skeptic, concedes that Jesus was executed in the first century, 30 or 33 AD. You get laughed out of a major academic institution if you claimed otherwise. In fact, the atheist New Testament scholar, Gerd Ludemann, says Jesus' execution is an indisputable fact. Secondly, you have early accounts that Jesus rose from the dead. So it can't be a legend. It took a long time for legend to develop in the ancient world, at least two generations of time, for legend to grow up and wipe out a solid core of historical truth. But in the case of the resurrection of Jesus, we have historical data that goes back to within months of Jesus' life. I mean, that is historical gold. And to me, it rules out the possibility that the resurrection is merely a legend. And third E is for empty. We have an empty tomb. How do we know it was empty? Well, even the enemies of Jesus admitted it was empty. They conceded that when they said, oh, the disciples stole the body. That's just a cover story. They're implicitly admitting the tomb was empty, but they're saying, hey, we got an explanation. The disciples stole the body. Well, frankly, nobody believed that then. Nobody believes it now. Disciples didn't have the motive or the means or the opportunity. But the important thing is they were implicitly admitting that the tomb was empty. The question of history has never been, was the tomb empty? Everybody admitted that. The question was, how did the tomb get empty? That's really the issue. And you look at the various options and you say the disciples weren't about to steal the body. Why? So they could live lives of deprivation and torture and suffering as a result? I don't think so. The Romans weren't about to steal the body. They wanted Jesus dead. The Jewish leaders weren't about to steal the body. They wanted Jesus to stay dead. I think the best explanation for the empty tomb is that Jesus rose from the dead, especially when we combine it with the fourth word that begins with E, which is the word eyewitnesses. That Jesus appeared alive in a dozen different instances to more than 515 individuals, to skeptics and doubters, as well as to believers, indoors and outdoors, to groups, to individuals. People talked with them, they touched them, they ate with them. I mean, think about that. That's 515 eyewitnesses. I was a legal editor of the Chicago Tribune. One of my jobs was to travel the country and cover major trials. I never saw a trial with 515 eyewitnesses. That's a pretty large amount of persuasive evidence. So I put these four E's together, the execution, the early accounts, the empty tomb, the eyewitnesses. To me, that is a powerful case for the truth that Jesus rose from the dead and thus authenticated his claim that he is the Son of God.
I want to just briefly comment on these excellent points that former atheist, now Christian author, Lee Strobel made. Death by execution, I dealt with this on Monday. You cannot find any reasonable, logical liberal today that would deny that Jesus Christ was executed by crucifixion. They would deny his resurrection. They would deny the inspiration of Scripture. But if they're going to be a logical, rational-minded skeptic, even liberals will say, hey, this is a known historical fact that Jesus was executed. This, of course, is the point I made this past Monday when refuting the claim from the Quran that Jesus was not crucified. So execution is a certainty. Now, early accounts is very important. These recorded biographies of Jesus, the four Gospels, the letters of Paul, were not written in a vacuum hundreds of years after the event. In fact, 1 Corinthians 15, that creed that Paul quoted, that Jesus was dead, buried, and rose again, is an early creed of the church that can be traced almost back a couple of months or years after Jesus died and rose again, according to Scripture. So these accounts came early and therefore nullifying any possibility of legend. And then, of course, the empty tomb. How do you deal with that, Mr. Skeptic? Even the critics said that the tomb was empty. They had an alternative explanation that his body was stolen, but they implicitly affirmed the fact that the tomb was empty. And then, of course, the eyewitnesses. These were hundreds of eyewitnesses that Jesus appeared to. This was not some mass hallucination. These were eyewitnesses who, by the way, willingly gave their lives for what they believed to be true. They wouldn't have done it for a lie. So I think that is powerful evidence. But I want to add to the evidence this morning. The resurrection is always under skeptical scrutiny, especially with some atheistic scholars like Bart Ehrman, who argue that when we examine the four gospel accounts of Jesus' death and resurrection, the resurrection claim disintegrates before our eyes, like the Coke-baptized egg, he says. But now, if we look more closely at these gospel passages, we find the opposite. Not the evidence of a fake, not something that was invented or written up by those padding the case, but signs of authenticity. Now, one of these signs that all four gospel writers invite us to see in the death and the resurrection of Christ, the report in these gospels, is we see it through the eyes of women. You know, I'll believe it when I see it. That's one of the lines of skeptics. But here's what I want to point out to you. The women recorded in the Gospels saw the events of Jesus' death. The Gospels record that they were eyewitnesses of his death. They saw where he was laid in the tomb. Mark chapter 15, verse 47, Luke 23, 55. They went on the first day of the week to see the tomb. They saw the stone had been rolled away. They saw the young man sitting on the right side, and the angel invited them to see the empty place where Jesus' body had been laid. Now, the point is, it's very clear. The Gospels are appealing to the role of these women as eyewitnesses. In fact, in light of this, Mary Magdalene's announcement, "I have seen the Lord," is really significant. She's like a modern-day journalist with photo footage to back up her story. She's standing as an eyewitness of Jesus' resurrection, not only to the apostles, but also to us as readers. Why is this so important? Why am I mentioning the role of women as eyewitnesses to the death and resurrection of Christ? Well, the fact that all four Gospels make the women central to their resurrection, it appeals to us as 21st century readers. We are amazed by that, but now think with me. It would have had the opposite effect on men in the Greco-Roman world. Women were thought by educated men to be gullible in religious matters and prone to superstitious fantasy and excessive religious practices. That was the view, a low status of women on their status as a woman and as a testimony in a court of law. So we have women as the primary eyewitnesses. The point is this. If you're a man wanting to fabricate and make up stories, invent myths and fables, you are not going to use women as eyewitnesses to the event. Because women as eyewitnesses in the world at that time, they would have been abhorrent. People reading this would have never believed the story. So we know that when we have the actual report from women as eyewitnesses, we're dealing with a mark of authenticity. this is very important that you understand this key point. If the gospel authors even had in their notion to fabricate the story, they would have not dreamed up the embarrassing portrayal of key leaders in the early church as being women. But the gospel accounts of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection are the opposite of fake. They fit the script of what first century authors would have made up in a host of ways. They offer us a crucified Messiah whose resurrection was first seen by weeping women. And the more we understand of how biographies were written in that time and place, the clearer it becomes that the gospel authors are presenting us with life-changing, authentic, unexpected eyewitness testimony. So that's why when we see women in the gospel accounts, they saw him when he died. They know where he was laid. And they went to the tomb, and an angel said, "He is not here, he is risen." We're dealing with eyewitness, authentic testimony. Because if you're a writer in the ancient world, you would have never used women because their testimony is fallacious. Their beliefs are superstition, yet that's exactly what we have in the gospel accounts that we're reading about this morning. We have so much reason to celebrate. Jesus Christ is alive. He is a living Savior. He has conquered death, hell, and the grave. He is risen from the dead. He is the resurrection and the life. When we put our faith and trust in him, our sins are cleansed. Our guilt and shame is taken away, and we have eternal life. And when we die, we have the promise of resurrection and eternal life in Christ. And I want us to celebrate that truth this morning with this incredible song from Sean Fuchs. Our response to the resurrection should be, "I exalt thee."
Did I exalt thee?
Incredible worship music from Sean Fuchs and I Exalti. Sean was here this past Sunday to lead a special rally amongst Christians in Jeff City, and it was powerful. It was powerful, and I'm so glad God has anointed this brother to do the work that he does. Today on The Cross in the Desert, I've given you reasons to believe in the certainty of the resurrection, and pointing to the resurrection as not only a historical fact, but a truth claim backed up by evidence of Scripture. And you as a Christian can have the certainty when you put your faith in Jesus that he is a living, risen Savior who has conquered death, hell, the grave, and Satan, and he provides hope beyond the grave. We've taken a careful, important look at that, the role of women, which shows, again, the authenticity of the gospel accounts, which is such an important thing for us to see. We can face the certainty of death in a hopeless world filled with violence and uncertainty. We have the words of Jesus who says, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he was dead, yet shall he live." I want to thank you so much for joining me this morning on this special conclusion to our Easter Holy Week series. I want you to have a wonderful, safe rest of the weekend and join millions, billions of Christians around the world on Sunday as we celebrate the truth claims of Christ, the glorious resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Have a great Easter.